Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk. We do it every weekday afternoon, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TKK, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. And we do it right here on WRHI, South Carolina's seven-time radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, always ready. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, as is highspeedweb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Rick Lee is with us. Rick chairs the governor's, Nuclear Advisory Council. And we're going to explain all of that on our Straight Talk program today and the findings that they have come up with and their recommendations to the governor as to how to proceed with this issue. So, Rick, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Manning. Nice to see you.
And for those of you who have not met Rick Lee, how do we describe in 15 seconds Rick Lee?
Just a long-term Rock Hill resident who's happy to be here. That's about
it. That's very good.
Thank you.
I like that. Former member of the York County Council, consultant extraordinaire that gets involved with all kinds of big projects on major institutions. Is that true?
That's true. That's true. We've had the good fortune to work at Cape Canaveral and Fort Benning, out in the South Pacific and other locations over the years. It's been most enjoyable.
So when the governor called and said, Rick, I need some help on this thing that I'm dealing with right now, I guess you were the right guy for the right job.
Well, time will tell. Well, you never know until the job's over, but I was happy to serve. I know the governor is very concerned about jobs in South Carolina, and he wanted to get a different view of some of these issues that you and I will talk about.
All right, well, let's go back square one, Savannah River. At Savannah River, up until whatever it was, 10 years ago, they were in the process of storing nuclear waste.
In particular, there was concern about the nuclear waste that came from the non-proliferation treaty that was signed back around 2000 with the Russians, in which both the Russians and the Americans agreed to put 34 metric tons of weapons-grade plutonium and take it out of the warheads and take those hundreds and hundreds of warheads out of service. And as part of the process, they were committed to destroying the plutonium so that it could never be used for weapons. This agreement it's a bilateral agreement between two countries.
And to destroy it, there was a process called MOX. Is that right?
Yeah, there are a couple of different methods you can use. The Russians are going to use a breeder reactor as their method. We chose to use a method that the French developed years ago called MOX. And MOX, they're all caps when you talk about the project, but MOX stands for mixed oxides. And what it involves is taking plutonium, weapons-grade plutonium, and you treat it. There's a chemical process and a physical change process where it's blended with depleted uranium. And then the product can be used in reactors for reactor fuel. It's quite a good use of the product. The net commercial value of the plutonium from those 34 metric tons, the commercial value is $50 billion.
Ooh.
So that fuel could be used by utility companies to reduce their cost of operations, and hopefully those savings would be passed on to the ratepayers.
And that'd be a nice return on the investment for what the government has to put in to make this happen.
Yeah, the government itself would not derive that kind of benefit to the government's treasury, but
right.
It is an enrichment of the economy, and it creates power for our country to use to generate electricity and make lights and all those sorts of things.
So when the decision was made, I mean, the treaty signed and everybody said we're going to do this and we're going to do that, we start putting the infrastructure together to do the MOX program, which is not something you do overnight. I mean, this was
A massive multi-billion dollar construction project using very sophisticated glove boxes. These are things you've probably seen on television where you have mixtures of hazardous chemicals and so forth inside an enclosed structure.
Right.
And It's the first time it's been used in the United States, but it's not an uncommon process used in France and Japan and China. So we're a little behind the curve on that, but nonetheless, the MOX is currently being used in 30 or 40 different reactors around the world, none here in the United States.
So all this is motoring along in a very fine fashion, and then along comes what? A change of administrations and a new way of thinking about all this?
There was a change in the administration. The Obama administration began to look at the program, and everybody seems to have a budget problem these days. They looked at the cost of MOX, which seemed to me a little bit late, given that we've already spent $5 billion on it and put 10 years of time in on it. But they looked at MOX and said, well, we maybe should find some other way to do it and see if we can cut down on the costs. So they had a sort of 180-degree turn several years ago, and it was at that point that it came into vogue to be opposed to continuing MOX inside of the federal government. And the Department of Energy has been taking steps since that time to try to limit the spending and what they call managed determination. That is, managed to the termination of the contract. Now, that's not something that they're really entitled to do because Congress has appropriated money for the project that's supposed to be spent and spent for the purpose of advancing the construction. But the Department of Energy has taken a different tact.
So that causes a great consternation down in Colombia, and the governor forms his advisory council, his nuclear advisory council, and you're pulled in.
Well, the Nuclear Advisory Council was originally formed back in the days of Governor Hodges when he stood at the border and said, we will not allow these products to come into the state. And they formed an advisory council to keep the governor informed of what was happening in waste management and waste handling for nuclear reactors. The Department of Energy made a promise at that time. They said, we promise that we will get this product out of South Carolina, the plutonium. We'll take it out of South Carolina. It won't reside here permanently, which was what his concerns were. And they signed an agreement with the state of South Carolina that says by the year 2015, we'll have at least one metric ton out of this state. Well, guess what?
Harry Reid blocked it.
Well, they made a promise that Yucca Mountain would be built, and then the DOE is kind of welched on that one.
Harry Reid blocked it.
Then they made a promise that they would get a ton out, and it didn't happen.
Harry Reid blocked it.
And in the agreement, it said the DOE would pay a fine of $100 million a year if they didn't succeed in doing this. And guess what? We haven't received a check.
Harry Reid blocked it.
So there's litigation ongoing. So you kind of get the picture here.
Yeah.
Changing policies. And it's always a problem for a federal agency to have a long-term plan or long-term projects because the priorities of administrations change when the faces change. So here we have exact situation, much like the atom smasher that the DOE was going to build in Texas. You may remember that one. It was canceled. So
here you are. You're heading up the governor's advisory council on this issue. And you have how many other people working with you on this?
Well, the council has seven members, and three of which are on this ad hoc committee that I'm on.
Okay. So you go about looking at both sides of this argument?
We try to do interviews with the representatives from the DOE as well as the contractor on site. And I've made a site tour and a site visit, inspected the facilities, did a lot of research afterwards on questions that were asked during the site visit, and tried to compile a report that fairly represents what we found and looks after the interests of South Carolina.
Well, the report is very skeptical about the DOE and its efforts to do an about-face on this and go in another direction because, as you say, what they're proposing is a really an untested technology, and nobody really knows enough about it.
Well, the technology that they want to use, instead of mixing the plutonium and using it for reactor fuel, they basically want to mix it with a binder product, put it in a box, and bury it out in New Mexico. And there are a host of regulatory hurdles that have to be jumped in order to get approval to change the basic characteristic of the disposal site they're proposing to use. Additionally, the physical limits of what they can do. At the present time, they can process, according to testimony that the DOE has given in court, they would be able to process 1 ton in about 8 years. So even if you were to double the capacity in some manner, increase the shifts or other such things, you're still looking at 4 years to do 1 ton.
And how does that compare to MOX? MOX would be able
MOX
to
would be
what?
Finished long before this. We would be finished processing the products before this alternate method was complete. Now, the biggest problem is that the decision is looming with regards to canceling the MOX project, but nobody is really sure how much it's going to cost for the alternative or how much it'll cost to finish MOX. And that's really what our advisory council is saying to the government right now, and that is you need to do a proper accounting of the cost to finish MOX, the actual calendar requirement, the schedule requirement to finish it, and then do the same sort of evaluation with the alternate proposal that they have and compare them. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's know what we're dealing with before we bury $50 billion worth of plutonium and write off a $5 billion investment in the MOX facility down at Savannah River.
And meanwhile, back at the ranch, you've got contractors down there who are proceeding with the MOX construction. And I guess they must be scratching their heads. What are we doing? We know what we're supposed to be doing, and then the Department of Energy is over here saying something else, and ugh.
It's a real quandary. You know, I mentioned earlier this managed determination concept that the Department of Energy is following. What they're, as an example, they're not allowing the contractor to use overtime for any of his work. Well, on a normal large project of this type, about 10 to 15% of your total hours spent doing the work are overtime. Without the overtime, getting craftsmen to go to Savannah River to work is very difficult because most of them have to travel. So the absence of overtime ensures that you have a challenge getting enough staff, and secondly, you can't get the staff with the quals that we need for nuclear-grade construction. So it's had a big effect. It really has, this managed determination concept.
You're not going to use people for this type of a project that you would bring into your house to remodel the den.
No. This is very specific skill sets that are required. Nuclear-grade welding for stainless steel, specific knowledge with regards to concrete and mechanical assemblies and so on and so forth. It's a complicated project. Not new technology. It's just a complicated project.
Mm. So if we didn't have this distraction from the Department of Energy, how long would it take to get Savannah River ready to go and start the MOX program?
The contractor is suggesting that it needs about a $4.5 billion more dollars to finish and 9 years.
Really? 9 more years mm-hmm. and $4.5 billion?
$500 million a year. But the Department of Energy is suggesting that they need $12 billion more dollars and 31 years. Now, that's such a big spread in the numbers, it should be apparent that something is not connecting in this case.
So meanwhile, on the other side of the world, mm-hmm. are the Russians moving ahead with their part of this deal?
They stepped out of this agreement. The Russians announced that they were having so many problems with the American government that they did in so many areas that they were going to excuse themselves from the agreement and from the treaty. Recently, there have been suggestions from the Russians that they would get back into it if we would move forward with the MOX process.
They want to make sure that we're going to do our end of this.
Well, see, the Russians had this fear when this was being negotiated that the United States would do something with the plutonium that didn't destroy it so that it could actually be used in the future for weapons. The MOX process changes it. If you bury the plutonium in the ground, it doesn't destroy it. You can go dig it up. And that's really contrary to the agreement and the spirit of the agreement that we had.
So meanwhile, are we making more plutonium for more weapons now, or has everybody decided we have enough weapons, except North Korea?
Well, I'm not an expert in that area. I will say that the Department of Energy has an ongoing program for upgrading the dropping atomic weapons, the bombs, and the warheads for missiles, trying to bring them up to current standards. They're, as I understand it, over budget and behind schedule. And part of what is driving the MOX decision by the Department of Energy is the budget.
Right.
They need money for these weapons. They need money for fixing the Department of Energy's infrastructure, their different plants and equipment and all that, which are falling on hard times. And there they're looking at a MOX project that's going to have a significant cost annually after it's constructed to process the MOX products going forward. So it's in part a budget issue for the Department of Energy, and in part an issue because of Congress's either refusal or inability to fund the programs.
So in upgrading existing weapons, the technology, they would still use the old...
They reuse what they got. Yeah.
Plutonium is plutonium, and it's going to be
that way for a long time.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, always ready. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Hope you stop by today and enjoy a delicious sub or salad. Back after these words.
This is Straight Talk.
Let's ask the young Alex Ruffalo why he thinks people keep coming back to eat at Substation 2.
Because they can see for themselves how everything on their sandwich or salad is sliced fresh right in front of their eyes. That's why we say slice, 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 garden, garden, garden.
For lunch or dinner, make it Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-through with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
With Comporium's Moxie Whole Home DVR system, watch the ball game in the den, then the kitchen. Just pause in one room and resume in another. Connect up to six TVs or record six programs at once. Moxie is the future of entertainment with Comporium. And the Moxie app is available for Apple or Android devices. Turn on with your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Call Comporium, 888-403-2667, or go to Comporium.com. Comporium, always ready.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Go on the drive of your life with a Founders Auto Loan. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, great terms and rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com, call 1-800-845-1614, or visit one of our 29 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. You're with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Rod Hicks.
And this is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration.
When you are faced with damage to your home, there's only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration.
Only one company that four out of five insurance adjusters or agents surveyed said they would use Paul Davis to work on their own homes.
There's only one company with eight trained and certified water mitigation technicians on call and ready to respond to your loss 24/7, 365.
It is better to know Paul Davis Restoration and not need us than to need Paul Davis and not know us. 329-1140.
The reason people keep coming back to Substation 2 for lunch and dinner has to do with the word fresh. Right, Alex Ruffalo?
They can come in and see all their meats, cheeses, and veggies sliced right before their very eyes. None of this wax paper slap nonsense.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Rick Lee is with us. He is the chair of the Governor's Nuclear Advisory Council, which is embroiled in a rather robust discussion with the Department of Energy in regards to, shall we continue the MOX program down at Savannah River, or should we go to something that they concoct that is called, dilute and dispose, which is an untested technology that will take a lot longer to get rid of the plutonium and probably cost a heck of a lot more money. Is that about right?
Well, the Department of Energy believes that dilute and dispose would be less expensive. And it is a process that's known. They've been diluting and disposing of products from different Department of Energy sites for a number of years.
Right.
But they've only done about 70 kilograms of dilute and dispose at Savannah River to date. That's about 150 pounds. And we're dealing here with 34 metric tons.
Phew.
So that's why I say it'll take a long, long time for this process to run its course.
All righty. So if the Department of Energy succeeds in ending the MOX program, you point out in your covering letter to the governor, which is followed by about 12 or 15 pages of detail, that this is going to have a huge impact on jobs. I mean, we've already lost 5,000 jobs at this mess down there in Fairfield County. This is going to add another couple thousand to that.
The site currently has about 2,200 employees working there. And so that would be the first round of direct impact would be on those folks if it was closed. There would be a period of time for ramp down, but ultimately all 2,200. And then there's about 2,000 more jobs that belong to vendors and suppliers that depend on this project. And, plus, you also have to remember that operating the plant, actually processing the plutonium, means that the plant has to be in operation for 15 or 20 years. And there's about 800 to 1,000 people that would be required to staff that facility. So you lose all those jobs, long-term jobs, if it's closed. So it does have a significant impact. And additionally, if this dilute and dispose process is stopped by a regulatory requirement or some technical problems or legal problems, what you wind up with is we won't have any of the jobs for construction, we won't have any of the jobs for operation, and we'll still have the plutonium.
And what would you have to do as far as what's already been done? I mean, would you have to close down in some way what the heck's already been built?
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got a huge concrete structure out there. It's missile penetration resistant and earthquake proof. I guess I don't know what you'd have to do, Manning, honestly.
My God. So you're doing this for the governor because the governor is going to basically try to make his case to the Department of Energy.
Yeah.
And the governor wants to enlighten him. Let's put it that way. So you've delivered this report to the governor.
Right.
Has he given you back any reaction?
He forwarded on to the delegation, all the members of the delegation, and is in direct communications with their offices. And I know he's working to try to find a way to take care of the two things that South Carolina needs. South Carolina needs to get rid of this plutonium and get it out of the state, which was promised to us years ago by the Department of Energy. And secondly, to preserve as many jobs as are possible. So
Jeez.
You have to also remember this. The Department of Energy cannot terminate this project without congressional approval. So at the present time, the House of Representatives has funded MOX for this coming financial year.
Right.
The Senate has not, and the President has not. So there's a lot of wrangling that's got to occur over the course of the next few weeks to get it into the Defense Appropriation Bill in Washington.
Well, you would think, because of the good relationship between the governor and the president of the United States, that if the governor were to hand this report over to the president, he's going to pay a significant amount of attention to that.
We hope so. What we're really proposing is what I like to call business 101. You know, if you have a $5 billion investment that's already been made, and it's in the ground, and it's working, but you can't get agreement on how much it's going to cost to finish or how long it'll take to finish it, you need to get an impartial third party in there. The contractor and the Department of Energy are way apart. So you need to get a neutral party in there, have them do the review, re-baseline the project, set the numbers, and then do a real study that everybody can agree was accurate and fair of the proposed dispose and dilute technology that the Department of
Right.
Energy wants to use. And then, of all things, actually look at one in your left hand and one in your right hand and do a comparison which one costs the most and which one can be finished the most quickly and which one meets the terms and conditions of the treaty the United States signed with the Russians. I mean, that's pretty simple. It's a business decision that has to be made at this point.
Well, let's remember, Washington does not operate as a business. It's anything but a business.
Yeah, but we've got a president.
I know. He understands
who that. Who understands business.
He understands business. But I think he's finding out he's up against a behemoth down there that is not going to be easily turned around to start thinking like a business thinks. So what has happened to your group now that you have submitted your report, which we ought to applaud you and the others for putting all the massive amounts of time into this that you have. And keep in mind, listeners, they're not getting paid for this. They're doing this out of the goodness of their heart. So what happens to you? Are you all out of business now?
No, the Nuclear Advisory Committee is a standing committee that reports to the governor. And so we have regular meetings on a variety of topics that take place. This was an ad hoc committee because of the urgency of this issue and the importance of it that we pull together. We'll have a scheduled meeting in October, and we'll go forward for several years. I serve coterminous with the governor, so at his pleasure.
Right.
So whenever, if there's an election and there happened to be a different governor, then we'd all
disappear.
Yes.
Do you think that you would be pulled into trying to find a way to resurrect Fairfield County?
At this point, no. It hasn't happened. You're talking about the two reactors.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, the governor is working with the different utility companies, really spending a lot of hours trying to figure out how to get that 5,800 jobs back and to get somebody to take ownership of the two unfinished reactors. It's a huge, huge task. Mm. And you're talking big dollars here with regards to this. So I don't know where that'll head. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, selling off state assets and
Scanna.
And I don't know where it'll head. Santee Cooper is the one that they want to sell.
Right.
And SCE&G, you know, it's not as big a utility, for example, as a Southern Company or Duke Power. Do they have the capacity to finish the reactors? They said no.
You know what's amazing to me is that Westinghouse on this project went belly up.
Wow.
How the hell did that happen with nobody seeing the signs?
But, you know, this has been interesting to watch. I'm happy to not be a part of it, by the way. But it's been interesting to watch because the company, to me, that is, should be the one being grilled is Westinghouse.
Yeah.
I don't know why the fixation with regards to the executives of the utility companies. You know, if they knew how to build the reactors, they wouldn't have hired Westinghouse.
Right.
So there's responsibility in all cases, but Westinghouse seems to be the one that's not being attended to.
Well, it'll be very interesting, Rick, back on to this topic to see what happens out of this. Is there some kind of a timeline on this where somebody has to say yay or nay on the decision?
This budget year time up in Washington, the budget for 2018, last year, the budget zeroed out MOX when it came out of from the president and from the Department of Energy. They wanted to terminate. But the Congress, Senate, and House refunded it for another year, not at the funding that they need, but at some funding level. So the decision is going to be made in the next weeks or, you know, maybe a couple months, however long it takes to get a budget done.
Well, I mean, the new budget year for Uncle Sam starts October 1st, right?
Well, they got the extension, as you know, 3 months.
Rick Lee, thank you for all that you do, buddy. I appreciate you coming on the show and explaining a very difficult topic as easily as you did. And we'll see what happens with this. Just one more thing to add to the list, right?
That's right.
And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Corporium, always ready. And of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared for your eyes, prepared right before your eyes. All right, I'm trying to tee you guys up. So how do we do it now? Slice, garden. Yeah, we got that part right. Yeah. Come on by and cheer us on, whatever. Hope you have a wonderful day. We'll see you at the charity golf tournament tomorrow. And that's where we'll be broadcasting on site from the Rocky Hill Country Club. Have a wonderful day. Bye.